with us this morning. Get ready to worship the Lord.
Deep breath this morning. It's been one of those. But this morning, let's look at Isaiah 61. As we look at the scriptures, look to Christ this morning, we know these verses. We know that these verses are about Jesus because he said they are about him. In Luke 4, he opens up the scroll and he points specifically to these verses and he says these are him. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Is that not good news? Is that not our testimony there, that we were once captive, we were bound to sin and to death, but yet Jesus came in and proclaimed liberty. He has come in and he has set us free from that. Continues in verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Do you see the repetition there? Do you see the Beatitudes? Do you see the Sermon on the Mount proclaimed throughout these verses there? That it is those who were once bound to sin and death, and those who are mournful, those who are poor in spirit. He is speaking to all of you. We see there the beautiful promise there that we are given beauty for ashes, that we are given gladness instead of mourning, that we are given praise instead of a faint spirit. Is that any of you this morning that is coming in here with a faint spirit, but yet needing to receive the strength to then proclaim God's goodness, to praise his name? And that is who he gives us. That is what he does for us, so that he may be glorified. We read there in verse 3. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning and we thank you that we can come to you poor in spirit, that we can come to you mournful, that we can come to you with only our ashes, and yet you give us beauty for those. We come to you that you will exchange our mourning for gladness. We thank you that you are the one who gives us the praise to then give back to you. So Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us this morning, that you would hold our gaze on you, that you would be glorified by our singing this morning, be glorified by our thoughts this morning, that you would give way the words to proclaim your goodness. Give us ears to hear all the goodness of the Lord, and let us never forget any of your benefits.
Jesus.
as just some simple people standing on this stage, it's our joy to just worship with you today, to lift our eyes to heaven, to throw off the things that so easily entangle us and just focus on the faithfulness of God.
Pour out. grateful hearts, we come to look upon Christ today. The one who is hope, gives hope. The one who restores the broken. The one whose words lift up the weary. The one who comforts the stranger, brings home the lost, calls the orphan son and daughter, makes the widow a husband. Lord, you are the one who, in our need, become great. Lord, would you, in our needs today, show yourself faithful? God, if one needs hope, would you be hope? For the broken that needs restoring, would you restore? For the one that's weary, who needs strength, would you be their strength? The wind beneath their wings, would you lift them? God, to those who mourn today, would you comfort them? God, would you be what we need? Would you work your truth in our hearts with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge? Would you lead us today? We ask these in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you will, continue in an attitude of worship this morning. Could you greet someone around you and welcome them to church? And our children may be dismissed.
Well, that got quiet quick, didn't it? Welcome this morning. This morning, our service will be a little different, a little shorter than usual, as we take time after our service to reflect and celebrate and honor the life of St. Johnson. So thank you, our visitors who are with us today, for being here. Thank you for being with us. And so for those of that are here, we will continue as normal, kind of a shorter sermon. I told someone today, I think it's harder to preach a shorter sermon than a long sermon. And so we'll see if I can do it today. But we'll get into that. A couple announcements right before we get started to that. As also after our celebration of life, we will have a gathering down. If you go out the sidewalk down to the corner building, we'll be gathering down there for a kind of a meal celebration. And at that time, have people that want to share will be able to share about the life of Cynthia. So, and a couple announcements. March the 7th, if you mark your calendars, Walk for Life, I would encourage you to come out and be a part of that, celebrate that life begins at conception, it begins early, and that it's precious. That will be at North Glen Park. Also, Palm Sunday is coming. Get that on your calendar, because that will be another time that we will take the opportunity to celebrate and eat together. I know you're sensing a theme that happens around here. We do like to eat together and give you a time to be a part of that. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We have been going through the Gospel of Mark here, and now we've come to this 10th chapter. We have taken a lot of time here on the 10th chapter because there's a lot happening in this 10th chapter. And if you've noticed, we've been walking through kind of a series of parallel stories. It started with Jesus' announcement. In the middle was Jesus' announcement. And the end of it has been Jesus' announcement of why he is here. Fred read to us this morning out of Isaiah as to why Jesus declared he is here. And today we will see in the life of a blind beggar the power of Christ at work to bring comfort to those who mourn, to bring healing to those who are lost, and to bring wholeness to those who are broken. So starting in verse 46, we read, "And they came to Jericho." Now, mind you, this is not the Jericho of the Old Testament, right? This is a different city. This is possibly the second oldest city in this region behind Damascus. But here it is, "They came to Jericho. And he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd." So here's Jesus, his disciples, and a great crowd. They're leaving this small city on their way to Jerusalem. Now, this kind of helps set it, right? He's on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. "And as they were going, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and called him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi,'" or Rabboni, which we mean master, "'let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Now, if you could ask Jesus for anything, would you ask for earthly knowledge or earthly treasures? Would you ask for heavenly knowledge or heavenly rewards? Would you seek the benefit of a loved one or maybe yourself? Would you, with false humility, decline the opportunity? Or would you be ready with a response? You see, Mark again has proposed to us a question. This time it's Jesus who is asking the question. You see, but here lies the drama in the story, is that Jesus' question is to a blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, some of you might be connecting some dots here. You might be noticing Mark connecting these stories together, this story with the previous story. If you remember, in verse 36, Jesus is asking the same question, this time to James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" And it's in true fashion that Mark now presents to us a line of needs that have been brought to Jesus. We saw a father who was in need of deliverance for his son. We saw the disciples who are in need of carrying out Christ's ministry to hurting people when Christ is away. We see a people who are in need of faith. We see disciples who are in need of assurance that they have not given up their lives for nothing. We saw a need to be free from sin and the ill effects of sin. The need to be filled with love so that we may learn to love. The need for an unselfish, tender heart. One not bound to the letter of the law, but free to live in grace. the need to be unburdened from the entrapments of life and the snare of wealth, to learn to be recipients of God's goodness and not takers and covenanters. We saw the need for assurance that Jesus is in fact the true King. And so today, let us consider this blind beggar. For he has two great injustices in his life. One is he is blind, and two, he's poor. You see, if he was just blind and had wealth, his circumstances would not draw out our pity. Right? If he was just blind but could care for his needs, could care for our family, our hearts would have been drawn to pity this man. And if, in fact, he had his eyes but was poor and could work and provide for his family, again, it would not draw out our pity. But his condition is a double injustice. Because of his blindness, he's not able in those days to provide for himself or for a family. And because of his poverty, he is condemned to a life of begging that upon the kindness of strangers, he might live. But as if this was not enough, there is still another great injustice befalling this man. You see, his blindness is seen as God's judgment against him for sin. And therefore, he cannot go into the temple. He cannot pray before the altar. He cannot offer sacrifices. He is separated from God with no mediator to present his offering, no incense to carry his prayers. But the real tragedy is the blind beggar. It's you. It's me. It's the soul that is untouched from the warmth of God's love and the restoration life of Jesus. The story of the blind beggar now becomes a picture into our lives. And yet the greatest tragedy of all is this, is that before the work of Christ upon our hearts with salvation, we are unaware of our blindness. You see, salvation does not come until we first see the depths of our depravity. Until the day when we see the pit of sinking sand that has trapped us and it has become painfully clear that we are lost and undone. You see, spiritually we are blind, unable and unwilling to see the wretchedness of our condition, unable to see the depth of our sin. Our senses are dulled to God's wrath and that in front of those who have not been redeemed and washed under His blood. You see, a blindness that veils the beauty of Christ, that hides His kindness, a blindness that keeps hidden the glory of His presence and the bounty of His work. You see, not only is the unregenerated heart blind, but it is also of great poverty. You see, for our father Adam has spent our inheritance down to the last penny. You know, and like the prodigal son who went his own way, who sought his own passions, his own desires, we have been left penniless. And we are left spiritual beggars without anything that we might buy bread for our souls. You see, we are the blind beggar until Jesus visits us in love. We remain poor and blind and helpless. But today there is hope. There is hope because Christ is hope. And hope has come near. You see, He has entered into the human tragedy. He has acquainted Himself with sorrows and with grief. And He has been burdened by our sins and our shame. And He has taken them up Mount Calvary to the cross where they died. And He has buried them and offers to you today this question, what do you want me to do for you? And so now let us turn to faith. You see, this blind beggar is at the last of a series of characters. Characters in which we see a comparison and a contrast. For first, there was the Pharisees. The Pharisees who came to Christ by the letter of the law. What does the law require? What does the law say? Versus here, a blind beggar who comes purely by faith. We saw the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler who came upon his merit. What must I do to inherit salvation? What must I do that through his own work, his own might, he might obtain righteousness, versus the blind beggar who cries simply for mercy. Cries for mercy that rise and reach the ears of heaven. And then there's the disciples who seek position and honor and power versus the blind beggar who simply wants to behold the face of love. And so let us consider how this blind man finds his faith. Right? It was faith that brought the dawning of hope. Hope that it doesn't always have to be this way. A hope that strengthens a tired and weary soul, that gives voice to worn out requests. You see, Mark does not tell us how this man came to believe in Christ, the Son of David, as he declared, Master and Healer, as he looked upon him. A blind beggar who has a greater theology than all the scribes and Pharisees. How is this so? How is it upon a blind beggar such faith let rise and sets? You see, we can rightly assume that he did not have faith because he saw it or witnessed, for he's blind. He did not see Christ working miracles, nor did he see Jesus feeding the multitudes. He did not see the kindness on the face of Christ as his enemies set traps for him. He did not witness the love of Christ displayed as he blessed crowds of children, for he was blind. And we can gather that the blind man did not travel to find Jesus, for he was committed to his town where he begged, where he was familiar. You see, there was no journey of enlightenment. There was no pilgrimage of piety. There was no advancement of opportunity, for he had none. He was a poor, blind beggar. So we're left to believe that this beggar heard. You see, faith now, as Paul would remind us, faith comes by hearing. And what is it that we hear that bursts forth such faith? The word of the Lord. You see, the average person can comprehend 6 syllables a second. Probably half of my sermons are heard by most people because I go so fast. The good news is that we max out at 10, so I like to push the limits, right? But a blind person can average 25 syllables a second. You see, I believe it's safe for us to hold that the blind man's faith came through what he heard. You see, as a young boy, he listened about the one who would come. The one who would come and establish the throne of David. He listened as his Sunday school teacher taught him, or you could say Saturday school teacher taught him, about the one who heals the blind, who was anointed and chosen, as we read in Isaiah 61, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare freedom for those who are in captivity and to comfort those who mourn, because he was all of these. He listened as his parents would teach him about the one who gives beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and new garments of praise instead of a faint spirit, because this man qualifies. You see, the beggar listened to the conversations of those who passed by carrying the news of Jesus of Nazareth, who fed the multitudes. This Jesus of Nazareth who forgave the prostitute and the drunkard, who set them free from their chains. He listened as they talked about the Jesus of Nazareth who would he would hear about the madman now clothed and in his right mind. He would hear about nets filled with fishes, bellies filled with sustenance, and hearts filled with joy. He would hear about families restored, about lepers who leap with joy, about dead children restored to their fathers and mothers. He heard about the poor who received the good news, the brokenhearted who have been comforted, and the blind who now see. And in hearing this, in his heart, the sap of a long, cold winter of begging has now started to rise, and hope that is born. And from his lips, the cries of mercy spring forth. Jesus, Son of David, Master and Lord, you did for others, would you do for me? And so let us now consider the fountain of every blessing that faith has now reached. You see, looking at this story, you might get the impression that Jesus is going to just pass by blind Bartimaeus. But for the cries of this blind man for mercy, Jesus has stopped. But can I remind us of Isaiah 50? We read last week. The Lord God has given me the tongue, Jesus declared, the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain a word to him who is weary. This blind beggar is weary. You see, morning by morning, he awakens, and he awakens my ears to those who are taught. You see, it's not just the cry for mercy that gives Paul, that gives pause to Christ here on this road to Jerusalem, but the cry of his lost sheep that has given pause to Jesus on his journey. You see, for Christ came to serve. Not to be your servant, but to serve. You see, because Mark has skillfully wrested this question from Christ right here in the midst in this long story of others. What do you want me to do? He's put it in the cradle of many questions before us. And so we can see now that this Christ, this question from Christ is not a question that drives us toward greedy ambition. You see, Jesus is not some cosmic Santa Claus who's come to answer our list of indulgences. He's not a genie in a bottle bound to grant you the wicked desires of your heart. You see, this question is not given so that our wicked hearts can have their lustful desires fulfilled. This question works to birth faith. A faith that does not demand, but a faith that receives. And so this question works to birth faith in this man. And you see, Jesus knew that his lost sheep sits by the roadside in Jericho. For it's not Jesus who would say, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went away? You see, it's with tenderness now that Jesus walks near. And it's the nearness of Christ that gives birth to the cries of his sheep. And so we read that Jesus stopped. Maybe yours says he stood still. You see, the people rebuked him. The people said, be quiet. To the people, he was a distraction. To the people, he was a burden. To the people, he was easy to pass by. But Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and called him. Oh my. Who is Jesus? Can we comprehend the infinite and the compassion, the depths of compassion that he has for us blind beggars in this fallen world? Can we begin to see the heart of a shepherd who would come for his lost sheep? You see, to Jesus, the blind beggar was not a burden. His cries for mercy were not quieted by shushing, but were the prayers of his lost sheep reaching the precious ears of his Savior. You see, the one who scheduled his day that he might pass by him and stop near him and call out his name. So let us now consider your faith. You see, the working of faith begins by leading us to salvation. You see, it was faith that was at work before his salvation began. This blind man's healing started way before his eyes were opened. You see, Jesus had drawn near. His mediator now listens for the cries of mercy. This man who once had no mediator, this man who once had no incense to carry his prayer, this man who once had no altar for which to find sacrifice, now finds his mediator, his sacrifice, his incense here, standing in front of him. This once hopeless man, bound in the chains of poverty, now grabs hold of hope. And was what once cries for compassion are now new songs of praise. Son of David, he would declare. Son of David. A simple saying that is packed full of great, deep theology. For Jesus was not just a man. He was the one destined and promised to come take the throne of David. He is the promised Messiah, the one who brings good news to the poor, binds up the brokenhearted, gives sight to the blind. Have mercy on me, he cries. You see, here I am, your lost sheep is ready to come home. You see, as we consider your faith today, when Christ draws near, don't wait, don't delay, but cry out in mercy. You see, the fountain of love was now near. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, we read, hope was born in him. A hope that was not quiet, a hope that was full of life. You see, when Jesus stopped and called, faith now gives rise to come. Come and receive from the fountain of life. You see, the fountain of life that this man so desperately longed for was now near and now called him to come and to receive. And so what does he do? What should we do? He traded his garments with Jesus. The Bible says and throwing off his cloak, we read. You see, he springs up to come to Jesus, leaving behind that which once identified him, that which once comforted him, that which once gave him purpose in life. He now leaves it so that he might embrace another. You see, trading his beggar's cloak for garments of praise, he rises, leaving the old life behind, believing God is faithful to his word and that he will do what he said he will do. Rising no longer a beggar, but a son. Casting off the old man, the dead man, receiving now from Christ his righteousness, and now clothed today anew in the love of Christ. So how about you today? Have your eyes been opened to the radiance of Christ? Are you familiar with the grace and mercy? Have you received the oil of gladness and garments of praise? Can you hear the Savior calling you today to trade your life of blind poverty for his incomparable riches? Will you leave behind your beggar's clothes today and trade them for heaven's robes of righteousness? If so, will you let the rich words of Christ fill your heart with great joy as it did blind Bartimaeus? Your faith has made you well. A faith not in Bartimaeus, not in the people of Jericho, but in Jesus of Nazareth. Son of David, Master and Lord, have mercy on me. Let us pray. Father, as we come today, a day filled with hope, not because we believe, but a hope because you live. A hope that lives in us, not because we earn it or we can be pious enough or because the law has given it to us. No, a hope that lives in us because Christ lives in us. A hope that is near because Christ is near. A hope that is full because Christ is full in us. God, if there is one today that does not have hope, would you let their ears today hear the call of Christ coming for his lost sheep? Would you let salvation stir in them faith that lifts them up from their beggar's seat, sets their feet on a firm foundation? As we trade our beggar's clothes for garments of praise, as we trade a dead man for your living son, for Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, let us today be renewed and afresh of hope. A hope that comes not because we've earned it or because we've done well enough under the law, but a hope that comes on the cries of mercy. Son of David, have mercy on us. That by your mercy, you would look upon us in our condition and have great pity. That pity would leave you to pull us up out of the depths, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give beauty for ashes, garments of praise. Lord, we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 As usual, at the end of our services, we come to the Lord's table. We come to this table because we realize that it is not on our merit that we attain anything. It's not in our piety. It's not in our achievements. It's not in climbing a ladder. But it is through the work of Christ. And so as often as we gather, we're reminded of Christ's work on Calvary, carrying our sin and our shame up that hill. His death, burial, and His resurrection. And we remember this cup of a new covenant which He offers to you and to me today, that simply through faith we may receive. And so I want to ask you in the next few moments, would you pray? I'm going to give you a time to search your heart, to listen to the voice of your Savior calling. And I want to invite you, if you've received, if the hope, light of hope has set in your heart, if Christ has carried your sins and you have received by faith that gift, I want to invite you to come to this table. And maybe that's not you today. I would invite you to let that be you today. And so this table is open for those who call Christ their Savior, Son of David, who have cried for mercy and received mercy. This table's for you. And so simply what we do, our elders will come up behind the table. We'll invite you to line up behind the table. You can take communion here at the table, or you can take it at your seat with your family. We'll leave that up to you. We have a gluten-free option in the bowl beside if you have any gluten intolerance. So if you'll take the next few moments, will you pray? Search your hearts and let's pray.
Across the pages of time, He